Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 32 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at the Ankeny Office of Iowa Realty. They're located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is the proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, we'll be talking a lot of wrestling tonight as both Ankeny and Ankeny Centennial are preparing for Friday's CIML Invitational at Southeast Polk. In a little while, we'll be talking with Centennial coach Jay Groth and one of his wrestlers. But right now, we want to talk to a couple of the Hawks. My first guest is an assistant coach for Ankeny, and he's going to fill in for head coach Jack Wignall today. He has helped guide the Hawks to an 8-6 record and a number 6 ranking in Class 3A in the Predicaments State Tournament rankings. He is Derek Huber. Derek, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me.
You bet. One of you guys, you know, I've had some ups and downs this year. Coach Wignall told me last week that your team has gotten in the habit of, you know, taking 2 steps forward and then 1 step back. You know, do you think that's a fair way to kind of characterize the season?
Yeah, it's had its up and downs, that's for sure. Just like any season, you have your highs and your lows. But main thing that we've been kind of focusing on is looking at the next competition ahead. So the next duel ahead or the next match ahead and kind of keeping a straight line on that.
Sure. Well, I know on Saturday your team was supposed to host the debuting duels, but it got canceled because of the weather. Mm-hmm. And then you tried to set up a smaller meet for Monday in order to give your guys some more matches. Mm-hmm. But you couldn't get any teams, you know, to come here. You know, that had to be a little frustrating, I'm sure.
Yeah, it definitely was, just because we have some kids on our teams that need some matches. I think we sent out an email to about 9 teams, and no response. I think mainly is they didn't want to make weight. I think they might have their conference tournament or sectionals coming up, but
oh sure,
yeah. I think that was one of the main reasons that the kids didn't want to make weight again.
All right. Well, injuries have played a huge role in your team's inconsistency. You lost 138-pounder Derek Anderson to a broken thumb in early December, mm-hmm. and he just recently returned to action. Mm-hmm. You also lost 195-pounder Cole Rachi to a knee injury, mm-hmm. and he was out for several weeks before recently rejoining the lineup. Your heavyweight Romello Gray has been battling a sore back. You know, do you think you guys are going to be able to get healthy, you know, before the postseason?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're learning to wrestle kind of hurt or not feeling 100%, because, you know, at the end of the day, you may not always feel 100%. So, yeah, it was a bummer having those guys out when we needed them. But they're back at where our lineup's, you know, where it needs to be, and they're learning to cope and wrestle at a high level with those minor injuries.
All right. Well, despite some of those ups and downs, you know, your program has obviously come a long way since Coach Wignall first took over in 2013. You know, you have to feel really good about where you guys are at right now.
Oh, man, yeah. I mean, compared to where we were at the beginning of the split, it's amazing. And I don't want to put a number on it with our 6th ranked, you know, where we're at, because, you know, rankings are pretty arbitrary. But at the beginning of when we split, I mean, it was just, it's night and day difference of where we were at.
So, oh, for sure.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, I want to get your thoughts on this guy sitting right here. You know, mm-hmm. Cole's been a part of the program for the last 4 years. You know, mm-hmm. what's he meant to the program?
He's meant everything. So Cole's been one of those guys that has won a lot of big matches for us and in big situations, and has been a guy that's, you know, put in the work all 4 years and has always came, you know, into the room with a smile on his face and ready to give it all. Yeah, he's had his ups and downs with some injuries, but he's always given us 110%, and that's all we ask for out of someone.
Sure. Well, you guys have certainly had some really good moments this season. You had 3 individual champs, and you finished ahead of Johnston while placing 2nd in the Johnston Valley Invitational on December 8th. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought that tournament, you know, kind of showed what you guys are capable of.
Yeah, I do absolutely 100% agree with you. It was a good mark where to gauge where we were at with our competition. I will also throw in there maybe the Jack Mendenhall. We also played 2nd at that tournament. That was a really tough tournament up in Ames. But yeah, I mean, just to show what we could do with a full lineup and being, you know, 85% mm-hmm. healthy.
We guys currently have 5 ranked individuals, according mm-hmm. to the predicament, including a couple of top-ranked guys in Trevor Anderson at 106 pounds and Caleb Rachi at 126. Mm-hmm. You know, it must feel good to know that you've got, you know, 2 wrestlers who at this point, you know, would probably be favored to win state title at their weights.
Yeah, that'd be fair to say, but kind of circling back to what I was kind of talking about before, we're looking at conference tournament right now. That's what our main focus is. But when, you know, when the time comes and they get down to the well, I have no doubt in my mind that those 2 are going to be on the top of the podium.
Well, let's talk briefly about those two guys. You know, Caleb was a state runner-up last year, you know, when he wasn't completely healthy. Mm-hmm. You know, but he's come back stronger than ever this season. Yep. He's twice defeated Valley's Nick Oldham, avenging his loss in the state championship match, and he currently has a 27-1 record. You know, his only loss came to Lisbon's Cale Happel at mm-hmm. the Cliff Keen Invitational. You know, and he just seems to really be on top of his game, you know, right now. You know, are you pretty confident that he is going to win the state title?
Yeah. I mean, kind of what I, you know, reiterating, yes. I mean, when time comes, you know, Caleb straps it up and he does what he's going supposed to do, and he's on such a high level of his competition. And I mean, when that time comes, he'll do a good job. But like I said, we're focused on Friday in the CIML tournament.
Right, he wants to win that one first.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yep.
Well, Trevor's also had an outstanding year. He's racked up a 29-1 record. His only loss came to Crestwood's Carter Fauschik at the Cliff Keen Invitational, mm-hmm. But he later avenged that loss at the Battle of Waterloo. You know, did you expect Trevor to come into the program as a freshman and do the things that he's been able to do?
So we had that. Funny you say that. So we had a conversation earlier. You know, like what we kind of expected him. We thought he was going to be a top four guy for sure. But the thing that surprised us the most about Trevor is how calm he stays throughout the match. I mean, he does not let his emotions get the best of him. If he gets taken down, you wouldn't have known it from just looking at him. So, I mean, knew he was top four, but the biggest thing that we're surprised with and happy with is just how he just is level-headed throughout the whole match.
Sure. Well, your other ranked individuals are 8th-ranked Kale Cox at 113, 8th-ranked Sam Callum at 132, and 10th-ranked Cole Rocci at 195. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure you feel like, you know, those guys have a chance to reach the podium at state as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing is, though, I don't know if you take a look at our district. We got a pretty tough district, but that goes with the schedule that we've had this far. We've hosted a pretty tough competition. Yeah, it would be great to get those guys on the podium, and I know that they could do damage when they get there, but we got to get there first.
Got to get there first, yeah. Yep. I'll ask you about the district here in a minute.
Yeah.
Obviously, you guys are preparing, you know, for Friday's CIML invite. You've already alluded to that a couple times. Mm-hmm. Last year, your team placed 8th in that tournament, but mm-hmm. obviously you weren't at full strength, you know, with Caleb out of the lineup at that time.
Yep.
You know, what's your goal going into this tournament? What do you think you guys can do?
Well, I mean, with any tournament, any competition, we always want to win. So, but we set a goal. We want to place top 5. We think that would be respectable and a very obtainable goal for us to reach. And with the lineup that we have going into Friday, I feel like that's going to be very achievable and should be achievable.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is such a great tournament, you know, with multiple ranked guys at just about every weight. Mm-hmm. You know, are there any brackets in particular that really stand out in your mind as ones, you know, that'll be really interesting to watch?
I think they're all tough in their respects. I mean, they all have their stud, you know, wrestlers. And I think at that tournament, it's almost like a mini state tournament. So everyone there is ready to strap it on and battle.
Oh, for sure. Well, I noticed at 126, 7 of the top 10 guys are from the CIML. So mm-hmm. Caleb's obviously going to have his work cut out for him.
Sure.
You know, and he could certainly see Oldham again, couldn't he?
Yeah, absolutely, for the third time already. And so we'll see him at some point. Number one, number two, it's going to be like fireworks, just like every other match that they've wrestled this year. So yeah, Caleb's ready. We're going to take it one match at a time, though, and wait to see him.
All right. When you look at the rankings, you know, you guys are 6th in the state tournament rankings, mm-hmm. but you're just 16th in the dual rankings. Now, do you think the discrepancy there is because, you know, your team is viewed as maybe a better tournament team? You know, why do you think you guys are so much lower in the dual rankings?
I think it goes back to the strength of schedule that we've had, along with the tournament. So the tournament rankings, you know, we got guys that, you know, may lose but come back and score points for us. And so that helps us place higher in tournaments.
Sure.
As far as the dual meet schedule, you know, we've had a tougher, you know, going up to Battle of Waterloo, we saw a lot of great teams up there. One thing that kind of did bite us was not having the debuting duels this weekend. So we would have seen, you know, some other teams there and would have been able to boost our record a little bit rather than being 8-6, you know, maybe get a couple more wins under our belt to kind of show our record off.
All right. Well, you mentioned, you know, the upcoming district tournament as mm-hmm. well, and you guys were assigned to the East District. Mm-hmm. You know, what did you think when those assignments, you know, first came out? Like you said, it's a pretty tough district, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Definitely for sure. When you see Southeast Polk in there, you know that you're going to be in for a battle. But kind of going back with our strength schedule, we went to the Battle of Waterloo Independence Tournament, Jack Mendenhall. We had a good Bob Sharp. We have a lot of good teams come there. So we're ready. That's why we do that, is to be battle tested and have our kids see tougher competition. So when it comes to, you know, district time, then we've already seen that high level of competition.
Right. Well, there's obviously some number of great teams there. You know, number one Southeast Polk, mm-hmm. Number eight Norwalk, number 10 East are also there. You know, I noticed that both Kale and Sam, have two higher ranked kids at their weight. So, they're both going to have to probably pull off an upset to get to state, won't they?
Yeah. I mean, those two are two kids that do stand out that have kind of been on the bubble the past couple of years. And going back, those two have had multiple great wins that I can, just count on both my hands. And I think they're battle tested. I know they're going to come ready to strap it on and give us all that we ask for.
All right. Well, your team will also face to East in a regional duel on February 6th at Southeast Polk. Mm-hmm. And the winner will then go on to meet the Rams in the final for the right to advance to the state duels. Mm-hmm. So this will be the second straight year that you guys have faced East in the regionals, right?
Yeah, it will be. It's just kind of funny that we see the two teams that are both in our district and, we're going to worry about that duel when it comes. We have this weekend and then a double duel next weekend for senior night. So when that duel comes, we'll put our attention on that. But we got a couple more competitions to worry about when we get there.
All right, just a couple other questions for you, yeah. Derek. I know you wrestled at Ankeny. What year did you graduate from Ankeny?
2012.
Okay, and then you went to Grandview. So you've been on the staff now, what, a couple years?
Yep, this will be my third year.
Third year. All right. Do you have any aspirations to become a head coach at some point? Or?
I mean, yes and no. I would love to, see what I would be able to do under my own regime. But as of now, I'm pretty content. I know Jack's going to be there for a while, and he's doing a great job and can connect with those kids. We'll see as the time goes.
Sure.
How about that?
Well, and you're still a young guy, so I imagine you still get out on the mat and mix it up with the guys, don't you?
Yeah. I let Cole beats up on me sometimes. I try to roll around with the guys as much as I can because I feel like, that's one of the main things that helps those younger kids get to where they want to be.
Sure. All right, Derek. Well, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Thanks, Dan.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Ankeny office at Iowa Realty will close in excess of $250 million in real estate in 2018. Their agents represent over 20 new construction builders in communities all over the metro. With interest rates at historic lows, would you like to know what your home is worth in today's market? If so, you can give them a call at 453-5800. That number again is 453-5800. Our next guest is a senior and one of the leaders on the Ankeny squad. He currently has a 10-4 record. He is Cole Rocci. Cole, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Well, we mentioned earlier when we were talking with Coach Huber that you recently returned to the lineup after recovering from a knee injury. Do you feel like you're back to 100% now?
Yeah, I feel like I'm there right now. Still trying to get my conditioning back to where it was before, but other than that, yeah, I feel great.
Well, you made your return at Johnston on January 10th, and you recorded a fall at 220 pounds in the Hawks' loss. You then competed at 195 2 days later at the Bob Sharp Invitational, where you placed second to help the team to a runner-up finish. You also had a pin on Thursday in your team's victory at Dowling Catholic. So you've had a total of five matches since your return. I imagine you would have liked to have got a few more matches over the weekend, wouldn't you?
I would have, yes. Not having the tournament Saturday sucks, but, at the same time, it is what it is. You can't help the weather, but ultimately, yeah, I would have loved to wrestle on Saturday.
Well, you told me after the Johnston meet that you would prefer to stay at 195, but that you would wrestle, wherever coach wanted you to, if that was best for the team. So do you think you'll be staying at 195 now?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
All right. Well, I know your teammate Mason Thomas has also been wrestling, at those two weights this season. He's a rugby player who came out for wrestling this year after being away from the sport for a couple of years. I imagine you guys probably mix it up during practice quite a bit, don't you?
Not as much now, but we did at the beginning of the year, yeah.
He's a pretty strong dude, isn't he?
He is very strong.
We've got the CIML tournament coming up on Friday. You've got a couple of higher-ranked kids in your weight class, top-ranked Gabe Christensen of Southeast Polk and number 7 Tristan Licht of Fort Dodge. I know you lost to Christensen earlier this season. Did you learn anything, from that match that might help you if you face him again?
Yeah, I just got to stay in better position, but, he's a stud. He knows pretty much every position out there. He does Greco and freestyle and he doesn't really get out of position very often, so I'm just gonna work on staying in a better position and getting to my offense.
Sure. Well, he's a coach's kid, so he's probably been wrestling since he was 2 or 3, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Well, I want to ask you a couple of questions about your brother Caleb, who is already off to a great start in his career. Did you know when he was younger just how good he was going to be?
I knew, but I really didn't know he was going to be this good until last year. When he got injured, I just remember getting the call from him saying that he thought he broke his ankle. And, I mean, my heart broke because I knew he probably could have won it. But, I mean, I got to give Nick credit last year for beating him. I mean, I know that was a great match. But, these past couple of years, he's really came into it really well.
Well, it's amazing that Caleb almost won it, you know, considering how little mat time he'd had, you know, for all those several weeks that he was off. So.
Yeah.
Well, have either you or Caleb, you know, given much thought yet to, you know, to your future plans? Would you like to wrestle in college somewhere?
Ultimately, yeah, I'd like to. I really don't know where yet now, but yeah, I mean, that's both of our plans right now, yeah.
Well, I'm sure Caleb will get more looks, you know, as he gets older. You know, do you think you'll help him out with the process, you know, as he gets into it?
I hope so, yeah. I mean, I kind of would like to help bring him if I get to go on like a college visit or something, just to see what it's all like, the experiences, and
sure,
just to see how different campuses are different.
Sure. Well, do you know what you want to study in college yet?
Not at this point, no. I mean, I kind of would like to be a police officer, and our other assistant coach Austin is
right.
A police officer in Urbandale, so I mean, I've been kind of asking him questions about that too.
Oh, sure. Well, let's talk a little bit about the upcoming district tournament. You know, if you are going to stay at 195, you'll obviously have, Sevier Spokes Christensen in your bracket. How do you feel about your chances to get to state, you know, considering that he'll be there?
I think it's good. I mean, I know that Gabe is a good competitor, and that if I have a good tournament, then I see me and Gabe getting through.
Mm-hmm. You just got to get in the top two, right?
Yeah. Okay,
so. Well, last year your team placed 21st at the state tournament, and, you know, that was with only two state qualifiers. You know, what do you think this team is capable of doing this year?
I think we can send a lot. I mean, 106 through 38, I think we could send. And then I think me and then our heavyweight Mello could go, so that's six or seven right there. So just it would be a better atmosphere for us because – obviously Caleb was there last year and he can tell us what that experience was like, and then we can feed off of each other too after every match that we have.
I'm sure he's talked a lot about what that experience, you know, was like, so I'm sure that's probably been helpful to you and the other guys.
Yeah, it has.
Well, one thing I want to ask you about is that incident here back in December in New Jersey where the referee told the high school wrestler that he had to cut off his dreadlocks or he'd have to forfeit the match. I'm sure you heard about that, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
You know, what was your reaction to that? What did you think of that?
At first I was kind of skeptical about it, but the news really doesn't put everything out there, and they just want to have a little bit of snippet of what you want to hear. And ultimately, when it all came out, I think that, I mean, yeah, the kid knew that his hair was too long, but he didn't decide to cut it. And, I mean, I know that ref had instances in the past of having maybe, like, making, like, some racial comments to
right
other kids, but that kid knew that he probably needed a haircut and he probably should have cut his hair. So
have you ever seen anything on a mat like that where the ref tells a kid that he's got to do something with his, I don't know, with his hair or anything?
Actually, the night we wrestled Lincoln and Southeast Polk, my brother Caleb actually had to get his bangs cut a little bit because the
really?
Ref told him he needed to cut his bangs.
Oh, that's crazy. What'd he say?
he just went ahead and got it done because Trevor Anderson's grandmother who's also a photographer for
right.
our team, used to cut hair. So she was just like, all right, I'll just come and cut your bangs.
Well, it's good that she was there.
Yeah.
All right, Cole, thanks a lot for coming in. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Ira Realty. My next guest is in his sixth season as the head coach at Ankeny Centennial. He's the only coach that the Jaguars have ever had, and he's led the team to a 17-0 dual record this year and a number 3 ranking in the Class 3A dual rankings. He was recently named the South Central District Coach of the Year. He is Jay Groth. Jay, thanks for coming in. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Dan. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, congratulations on a great season thus far. Your team has passed just about every test up to this point. The only meet that you didn't win was the Dan Miller Invitational on December 15th at Fort Dodge, where you play second behind the Dodgers. You know, I know you had some high expectations coming into this season, but, you know, is this the kind of success that you envisioned, you know, that your team would have?
Well, I knew we had the opportunity to be real solid and a good group of kids. They're a lot of fun to work with. So, I mean, yeah, that was our expectation that we would work our way up to the top of the rankings and go to state duels and go to traditional state and be very successful. So, yeah, things have been going right.
What would you say, you know, has been the key to your success? Is it the fact that you guys, you know, are strong up and down the lineup and you really don't have, you know, many, if any, weaknesses?
That's a big part of us winning as many dual meets as we have, is that we've got good kids in at every weight. And when one of our kids or a couple of our kids might lose a match, the other ones are stepping up and winning in those other spots. So, you know, everybody's contributed to the dual meet wins. We've had JV kids fill in when other kids were hurt and they win. And, you know, it's just been a real good season for us in that regard.
Well, you guys currently have four ranked individuals by the predicament, including top-ranked Ben Monroe at 132 pounds. You know, after twice earning state runner-up honors, Ben is off to a 27-0 start and just had one of his biggest wins of the year, a 9-7 decision over fourth-ranked Caleb Helgeson of Johnston that helped you guys to a dual meet win over Johnston. And he also won the Central Conference title. You know, Ben really seems to be on a mission this year. You know, how confident are you that he's going to win a state title?
Very, very. He's a really hard-working kid from the classroom to the wrestling room to the weight room. You know, he does everything right. He's got a plan, and he's got, you know, his goals are to be two-time state champ now that he's got 2 years left, and I have no doubt that that is what's going to happen.
Well, your other ranked individuals are sixth-ranked Eric Owens at 145, third-ranked Logan Neals at 170, and seventh-ranked Nick Leo at 182. Now, Neals placed fourth at state a year ago at 160, and Leo was also a state qualifier. And Owens placed sixth as a sophomore 2 years ago. So I imagine, you know, for those three guys, you know, just getting to state won't be enough, will it?
No. And you know, I'm thinking that we're going to have – our goal is always every year to get 14 kids to the state tournament and get those 14 kids to the top of the podium. And that's what we work for. And, you know, those guys that you just mentioned, plus guys like Lane Prusner, who's with me tonight, and Noah Blubaugh, who was at the state tournament last year, and others, I think, are – you know, setting their goals very high as well, and I'm looking forward to wrapping up the season with districts and dual team state and state. It's an exciting time.
Sure. Well, yeah, I wanted to ask you about Lane, since he is sitting right here. I know you told me, you know, recently a couple times that he is going to be a state champion. You know, what's he brought to the team this year?
Lane is a good leader. He's, you know, has a good sense of humor. He works hard. He really pushes. We got a little bit of inexperience in the upper weights. And you know, some of those younger guys that he pushes and helps them get better, and you know, he works hard. When you watch him wrestle, you know, there's never a time where he's taking a break on the mat or relaxing and letting somebody score points that they shouldn't get. He's always pushing the pace and getting after it. So that's been great for especially the upper weight guys to see that kind of wrestling.
Well, you guys are getting ready for the CIML Invitational now on Friday. Last year, your team placed fifth in the tournament, and Logan Neals won a title to become Centennial's first individual champion. You know, do you think you guys, you know, can contend for the team crown this year?
I do. I think we got the depth. I think we've got, you know, good kids at every weight, and, you know, we're fortunate right now. Everybody's healthy and ready to wrestle, so we'll put 14 guys on the mat, and we've talked today about, you know, wrestle if you're seeded first, finish first. And if you're seeded anything below that, finish above your seed. And the rest of it will take care of itself.
Well, if you guys do that, you should be right there, huh?
We should be.
Well, Fort Dodge is the defending champion, but Southeast Polk is currently ranked number one, followed by number three Valley, number four Fort Dodge, and number five Waukee. And that's according to the state tournament rankings. You know, going into it, do you feel like there is a favorite to win, or do you think it's kind of wide open?
You know, I think there's a lot of good, good teams there. Southeast Polk's been wrestling really well. They've got good lineup. They're solid as well. Fort Dodge has filled some holes that they had earlier in the year with the kids. And I think, you know, Valley, Waukee, Southeast Polk is just going to be a battle of who shows up that day.
Well, it's going to be a great tournament, you know, with multiple ranked guys at just about every weight. You know, are there any brackets, you know, that you're looking at that kind of stand out as maybe ones that you really want to watch?
Well, actually, the heavyweight bracket is loaded with a lot of good kids. It's just going through, you know, actually, I was listening to a podcast on the way over here, but kind of going over the CIML tournament, and I tell you, there's a lot of really good weight classes there, 120, 106, 132, 145, 170, you know, 182. There's a lot of talent. This is a mini state tournament. We've had kids place lower at this tournament than they did at the state tournament over the years. So, you know, just show up and go that day and have a good time.
Yeah, a couple of the weights that I noticed at 132, six of the top 10 guys are from the CIML. So Ben will certainly have his work cut out for him. You mentioned 170, the top three guys are from the CIML there. You got Waukee's Anthony Zach, Valley's Blake Underwood, and of course your guy, Logan Neals. So like you mentioned, you know, some of these brackets really should give your guys an idea what the state tournament is going to be like, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it will. And, you know, this year with the state tournament being seeded for the first time ever, this tournament has a little more significance to it in that, you know, you do well here and you beat a couple guys that maybe you hadn't seen yet or that you lost to before, and you move up from being, you know, seeded fifth or sixth to, you know, second or third or first.
So they are going to see the state tournament this year, huh?
Yes.
I guess I had heard that.
So. Yes, they are. So that'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. It's probably for the best. You know, in the years past, sometimes kids get a bad draw or a good draw, and, you know, it just depends on what end of it you're on. But now this year, at least trying to get it done, and I'm sure there'll be people that are upset, you know, about where they're seated. But I think in a tournament like the state tournament, it really needs to play out that way.
Now, will they still match up district champs and runners-up, or is that thrown out the window now?
That goes away with the seeding. So
Okay.
If the number one and number two guy, you know, are from the same district, and obviously they'll move apart like they've done before, but they also won't you won't see a first-round match with number two versus number three, hopefully, you know, if things work out.
Well, it seems to make sense.
Yeah, so, yeah. It does.
Well, we were talking about Logan Neils there, and he did drop down to 160 last week for the Johnston meet. So I guess he has the option, you know, to wrestle there in the postseason as well, doesn't he?
He does. He does. He's comfortable at 170, and I anticipate that's where he'll be. He's on full feed. He's happy, and a happy Logan is a better Logan. So
sure.
We'll see him there.
All right. Well, now when you look at the rankings, you guys are third, you know, in the dual rankings, but you're ninth in the predicaments of state tournament rankings. Now, do you think the discrepancy there is because, you know, your team is viewed maybe as a better dual meet team?
You know, I think a couple of our guys are getting overlooked, and that's partly because that we've been willing as a team to do things in order to win dual meets. I'll look at Noah Blubaugh, who's bounced back and forth between 20 and 26, so I think people that do the rankings don't know where to put him. Lane Prusner right here has been at heavyweight and at 220. So, again, that's another kid that has been ranked, but people are like, oh, I'm not sure, do we rank him at 20 or heavyweight? And they should be ranking him at 20 because that's where he's going to be from now on. You know, Eric Owens has beat some really tough kids. He beat the number three ranked kid a couple weeks ago up at Lynn Mar, and he's been wrestling really well. So I just think, you know, ranking is hard. Ranking is tricky, you know, to get all that, gather up all that information and see who beat who and common opponents and that sort of thing. And then when you're moving, you know, you're moving from this weight class to that weight class, Logan Neils is another example. He was this year, he's been ranked at both weights. So I think, you know, we're going to go up to our district and we're going to wrestle tough and we're going to bring as many kids as we can to the state tournament. And we're going to, you know, we've been kind of preaching the pin to win mentality all year, and we're going to try to get some bonus points and see what we can do at the tournament.
All right. Well, I know one of your team's goals is to qualify for the dual meet tournament as well, you know, as well as getting as many guys to, you know, to the traditional state tournament. Now you're going to host a regional duel on February 6th, and we'll meet either Johnston or Dowling Catholic in the finals. Now you guys have never been to the dual meet tournament before, so you haven't, you know, had to deal with that situation of wrestling, you know, in the dual tournament, right, you know, the day before the traditional tournament. So have you guys thought about how you're going to handle that situation if you get there this year?
As coaches, we've talked about it, you know, and we didn't know as far as the regional pairings, we didn't know those until last night. So we talked a little bit in practice today about it, but, you know, we're gonna wrestle. I mean, you know, we've not been there before. So, you know, we're gonna put our team out there and, we're gonna go out and try to keep winning duels like we've been doing all year. And, that's the plan as of right now. So that's what we're gonna do.
Well, obviously, some teams have taken different approaches with that tournament in the past, depending on what they wanted to focus on. But, you know, if you could do it, you know, would you move that dual tournament to a different date, or have you just kind of accepted that that's where it's going to be permanently?
I would move that tournament to a different date for sure. I would move it maybe a month earlier in the season. I would move it back to what it used to be, which would be a week later where it was in Cedar Rapids. And, yeah, I would definitely – or, you know – Iowa High School doesn't do many events on Sundays, but, you know, the Sunday after the traditional state tournament is over, I think would be a good option as well. So I don't like it where it is, and
yeah.
I don't know very many coaches that do, or really very many athletes that do. So.
Well, it just seems like, yeah, if some teams, if there's even one or two teams that aren't going to take it seriously or they want to focus on the traditional tournament, then why have it at that time?
But, right. You know, and I'm, you know, I look at it too with consolation side of it. I think maybe if you're going to keep it where it is, then you get rid of the consolation part and say, if you when you lose, you're done, and then you can focus. There's you know, we got well, a team, you know, that maybe you have 8, 9, 10 kids that are wrestling in the state tournament, but they got to continue to wrestle matches on the consolation side and really should be focusing on what they want to do in the traditional state tournament.
Right, right. Well, now you guys have been assigned to the Fort Dodge District on February 9th. You know, what did you think of your assignment when it came out? You know, are you happy with it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pleased with where we're going. We've not been to Fort Dodge before. Obviously, we were at the Fort Dodge tournament, Don Miller, earlier in the year, and we wrestled them in our first dual meet of the year. So we've seen Fort Dodge a couple times. We'll see them again on Friday. And, you know, that we've seen a lot. This snow day that we had last weekend where we were going to go to Sioux City and wrestle a couple more teams that we'd see at district, it's kind of bummed out that we didn't get that opportunity. We'd like to see Lamar's and would like to see a couple of the other Sioux City teams, but, you know, weather, can't do much about it. But otherwise, very pleased. You know, I think we're ready to go.
Well, even though Fort Dodge is there, it seems like the rest of the field, you know, maybe doesn't appear to be quite as strong. Do you think there could be a lot of, you know, finals matchups between you guys and the Dodgers?
I do. I think, I hope that, yeah, you know, it comes down to us battling the Dodgers again. And I think it sets up to be a pretty exciting final round for both schools.
All right, Jay. Well, good luck the rest of the season. Probably see you over there at the CIML tournament on Friday.
All right. Thanks again, Dan. I appreciate it.
You bet. All right. You're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Ira Realty. My final guest for tonight is a senior and one of the leaders on the Centennial squad. He has compiled a 25-4 record while wrestling mostly at heavyweight this season, although he has dropped down to 220 now. He is Lane Prusiner. Lane, thanks for coming in. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, congratulations on an outstanding season thus far. You know, I thought you really set the tone for this year when you had that thrilling last-second win in the season opener against Fort Dodge that gave you guys, you know, the dual meet victory over the defending state champs. You know, I don't know if that was, you know, the highlight of the season for you, but it certainly had to be one of them, huh?
It had to be one of my top highlights of the season, but I'm looking forward to the rest of the year and qualifying for state and placing high on the standings.
Sure. Well, you also had a pin over Ankeny's Romello Gray, you know, when he was ranked, which helped you guys to a dual meet win over the Hawks. You know, since you haven't been, you know, ranked much, you know, this season, have you kind of felt like you've had something to prove every time you've been on the mat?
Yeah. I always go on the mat and just wrestle as hard as I can. I don't really care about rankings or whoever I'm facing. I just go out there and wrestle like I always do.
Well, you won a tournament title at Dallas Center Grimes, and you were the runner-up at the Fort Dodge tournament, where you lost in the finals to Justin Jones of Humboldt in overtime. You know, is he one of the toughest guys that you've wrestled this year?
He's up there. He's one of the top guys I wrestled. That match, personally, I think really came down to a coin flip, but he's a good wrestler. It was a fun match.
All right. Well, like I mentioned, you wrestled at, you know, heavyweight almost all season before dropping down to 220 for the Johnston meet last week. And Coach told me that you're going to be staying there now for the rest of the season. So even though you were having success at heavyweight, you know, are you more comfortable at 220?
I feel a lot quicker at 220, and feel like I wrestle a lot better. I'm a little bit lighter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you were able to use your quickness, I thought, sometimes to, you know, maybe beat some of those bigger guys. Do you have to change your style a little bit when you're wrestling, you know, other 220-pounders?
Going down to 220, I'm allowed to do a lot more than I was. Wrestling heavyweight, I usually just kind of let them tire themselves out for the first period, and then I'll be able to score points on them for the rest of the match or possibly pin them.
Oh, okay. So do you have, like, a signature move on the mat that you like to use?
Usually this year I've been doing a lot of trips, and that usually catches heavyweights off guard because they don't expect it from such a lightweight guy.
We've certainly been successful only having 4 losses on the year. So,
mm-hmm.
Well, we talked earlier with Coach, you know, about the team success that you guys have had this year. You know, are you surprised at all by what you guys have been able to accomplish?
Coming into the year, I didn't expect us to do this great, to be honest, but I'm really proud of everyone on the team for committing to the squad and wrestling as hard as we can.
Well, it's really been a team effort, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has.
Well, Coach has mentioned that he thinks, you know, this team is capable of winning a trophy at this year's state tournament. You know, do you agree with him?
I do agree with him. I think it's a high possibility that we get into the finals in the state doodle tournament.
All right. Well, I didn't ask a coach about this, but he earned his 350th career victory with the win over Johnston. He's obviously had a great coaching career. You know, what do you think makes him such a good coach?
He keeps us on task. Sometimes we might get a little rowdy and start goofing off, but he always keeps us on task. Or if we don't, then we might have to do a little extra.
Sure. Well, you're getting ready now for the CIML Invitational on Friday. I see there are 2 ranked guys at 220. And one of them is top-ranked Greg Hagan of Dowling Catholic. I know last week, Ankeny coach Jack Wignall, he told me that, you know, that kid was a monster after the Hawks had faced him. You know, have you ever wrestled him before?
I did wrestle Greg Hagan last year in the conference tournament. He beat me in the quarterfinal round.
So what do you think will be the key if you face him again?
Just do what I've been doing all year. Just focus on me and just go out there and wrestle as hard as I can.
All right. Well, now one of your assistant coaches used to be a pretty good heavyweight in high school, Coach Fontana. Does he still get out on the mat there with you guys and give you a workout now and then?
Yeah, he gives me about a solid 30 seconds out there on the mat until he has to call in another coach. But, yeah, he does come out.
All right. Well, I wanted to talk a little football with you as well. You had a great season for the Jaguars, earning All-State second-team honors while helping the team to a 9-1 record. You know, did it take you a little while to get into wrestling shape, you know, after finishing up with the football season?
It didn't take me too long. It took me about probably a week. We do a lot of conditioning in the beginning part of the season, so I was in shape pretty quickly. And playing both ways on the football team really helped me too as well.
All right. Well, also wanted to ask you about the other sport that you play, rugby. You've also earned All-State honors in that sport. You know, when did you first start playing rugby?
I started playing rugby in eighth grade year.
Now, obviously, you know, they don't have a varsity sport here in Ankeny for rugby. So how did you even know about the sport or where to go to play it?
I think I just one day I watched it on TV and I was just really interested. And at that time, there was a wrestler on the team that I knew, Christian Heimer. And then I kind of just got involved in it.
Now, I've never actually covered a rugby game or match or whatever you call it, so I don't know much about it. For people that aren't familiar with the sport, you know, what are the big differences between rugby and football?
Rugby is a lot more fast-paced. It doesn't stop unless there's, like, a penalty. It's more like soccer and football kind of combined. It's 7-minute halves, so it's not terribly long for high school. There's different types of rugby, but overall, there's a lot more contact, I'd say, but overall it's safer than football is, yeah.
But it is pretty physical, huh?
It is physical.
So what are your future plans? Are you looking to play any of those sports, you know, at the next level?
I am playing rugby at Iowa Central Community College for the next year or two.
Oh, okay. So that's the sport you want to focus on, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Lane. Well, thanks a lot for coming in today. Appreciate it.
Yep, thank you.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Ira Realty. I want to thank all four of my guests once again for coming in tonight. It should be a heck of a tournament over there at Southeast Polk on Friday. If you're not doing anything on Friday, you should go check it out. Once again, the podcast is sponsored by Ira Realty. And did you know that at Ira Realty, it pays to take a second look? You can get a second opinion on your mortgage. Just three easy steps to make sure that you have the best mortgage to meet your financial needs. Their second opinion program pays you to take a second look. They offer a $100 gift card to those that would like to compare their existing pre-approval to another opportunity. In 2016, they were able to offer a better solution to 69% of their customers who received a second opinion. Dave Lewis is the mortgage loan officer over there at Home Services Lending. And for more information, you can reach Dave by email at davelewis@homeservicesLending.com. The office number is 515-453-7835. That number again for Dave is 515-453-7835. Come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.